Hey there, happy Easter. Welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. I hope you're doing well. I missed you yesterday. Actually, I missed you over the weekend, too. As I mentioned last week, I took the day off yesterday, sort of continuing the celebration of the Easter Sunday. Spectacular, the great news where Jesus rose from the dead. You know, I love the readings this week. We're gonna look a little bit more closely at the Mass readings that are used for daily Mass this week because they're all so good. And I love the Gospels. You know, throughout the week, you're going to hear the story of multiple people who somehow missed the point that Jesus rose from the dead, he defeated death, and that he was bigger than all of their problems, and also that he was with them. They somehow missed that point. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? You and me, we do it all the time, and we are not the first people to do this. And I think it's good to recognize the fact that there have been people throughout history documented as missing the point, as being upset, being sad, when in reality, they should be very hopeful because Jesus had risen from the dead and was with them. So that's what we're going to talk about throughout the week. But anyway, it's so great to be with you. I hope you had a wonderful Easter. Hope you're ready to continue the Easter journey. Now, remember, the Easter season goes on for 50 days. It doesn't just end on the Monday after Easter. And that's the beautiful thing about this solemnity of the resurrection. This is a big deal. And that's one of the reasons the church has us go into a full-blown Easter season. It's too big to be contained in one day. So we're going to try to keep that spirit alive. And again, I'm so glad that you're with me on the program today. And I hope you'll continue to be a listener of the show because, you know, it wouldn't be the same without you. And then I'd have an empty table an empty chair at the table. And I don't want that. So I'm really glad to have you with me. Let's pray now. Let's turn to our Father in heaven, who, as I sometimes like to remind you and remind me as well before I start this prayer, he's with us. You know, that's not something we want to forget, but look around. Do you see your Father in heaven? Do you see Jesus? Do you see the Holy Spirit? Of course not, but they're all there. And that's why it's sometimes challenging for us to see with the eyes of faith because we are looking at the invisible, but at the same time believing that the invisible is real. That goes against a lot of what we hear in the world today. So let's use our faith to do that, to remind ourselves that our Father, who we're going to be speaking to, he's alive with us, present wherever we are. He loves us unconditionally, and he's bigger than any problem that we can ever face. So therefore, let's turn to him because he's waiting to hear from us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, Father in heaven, it's so good to be able to talk with you today. We are all so grateful that you are present with us. But Father, as you just heard me say, we struggle sometimes. We struggle because we can't see you. And unfortunately, we are so used to perceiving the world with our eyes and with our senses that when we can't see something, we assume that it doesn't exist. But in your case, that's not true. You do exist. And Father, we're so grateful that you do exist. I know you hear every word that I'm praying right now. I know that you love us all. I know, Father, that even before I say a word, you know exactly what we need. So I want to start out by thanking you for being present, by thanking you for creating us out of nothing, by thanking you for sending Jesus into the world to draw us back to you, by thanking you for reserving a room for us in your heavenly mansion so that one day when our life on earth is over, there's a room waiting for us. How can I ever repay you for that? How can I ever thank you adequately enough for that? I can't, but I'm just going to try my best. And Father, thank you for all of the enjoyment that you have sent to us throughout the course of our lives. So many things that we've enjoyed. Nature, TV shows, food, music. I could go on and on. Relationships, good times with friends, awesome memories growing up as a family. You know, whatever it is, you have given us so many opportunities for pleasure, which all came from you. And we're very grateful for that, Father. Father, we praise you for who you are, for your power, for your might, for your the fact that you know all things. We praise you for never being overwhelmed by any situation that occurs. We praise you for always having a plan. And Father, we lift our intentions up to you. We ask you to give us what we need this day. Take care of us and our loved ones, our friends. Grant relief to all those who are suffering. Grant hope to the hopeless. And Father, I ask you to give me the words for the program today. Pour out your spirit. Awaken the spirit in each of us. And in me, give me the words that I'm supposed to speak on this program today, because I know this is your show. This is not my show. So the program is yours. Just don't let me mess it up. And Father, open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask this in the most powerful and sacred name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, hey, thanks for praying with me. I'm Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. We come to you every Monday through Friday for 30 minutes each day. Please let your friends know about this show. If you're a first-time listener, I really want to welcome you. And as I posted on Facebook earlier today, this is a show about good news. You're not going to hear bad news here. You're going to hear the truth sometimes, which might stretch you a little bit, but it's good news, because anytime we talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, guess what? That's good news. The gospel message is good news. You need to be hopeful. You need to be optimistic. You need to be encouraged that you got a Father in heaven who loves you. And that's my job. That's what I'm here to do. I'm going to tell you the truth. That, yeah, you will have problems in life. You will have to suffer at times. We all do. Jesus did. But through it all, Jesus is right here with us. The Father sent him into the world. He became one of us. And he was killed. He was murdered on a cross for our offenses, for my sins, for your sins. He died on the cross. He took the blame and the punishment. And he died for us. So that now we have a place in heaven. And guess what? He rose from the dead. So now there is a resurrection, not just after we die, not just when he comes again, but right now your life can be resurrected. So whatever you're struggling with right now, allow yourself to be resurrected by Christ. He can bring you above it. And again, sometimes he can work in the midst of problems, but what happens, what we don't want to have happen, is we become overwhelmed and defeated by our problems. You got a guy with you in the person of Jesus who allowed himself to be put to death, who allowed it, but yet managed to rise from the dead so that even death can't defeat him. That's who you have in your corner, and that's a pretty good guy to have with you. So this show, I'm going to keep it positive. I'm going to give you the good news, and I'm going to give you hope. I want to give you hope, because there is hope in Jesus Christ, and that's what this show is all about. If you want to find out more about my work, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. My latest book, Give Up Worry for Good. We'll talk more about it now that Lent is over. The book is starting to get some attention now. It came out during Lent, which is, it's funny because Give Up Worry for Lent has been, all thanks to God. I mean, all credit goes to God. But that book has been so successful over the past 3 years that it's hard to compete with it. So the other book came out at the same time. Give Up Worry for Lent was still getting a lot of attention. But now that Lent is over, we're in the Easter season, Give Up Worry for Good, which is written as a follow-up to Give Up Worry for Lent, is starting to get some attention. So I'll be talking more about it as we go forward. But if you want to pick yourself up a copy, I really think you'll enjoy it. You can find it at followingthetruth.com. While you're there, sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. That's at followingthetruth.com. And here's the final piece of information. I got a call today about another speaking engagement for me for next year. So this is, I'm starting to get the calls now. I've got a couple for this year. Things are still a little tentative, but I'm starting to see some activity. So therefore, if you want to bring me in to your parish, your conference, your church, please get in touch with me at followingthetruth.com. It's time. It's time for me to get back on the road and start sharing the good news with you and with your friends and your fellow members of your parish, attendees of your conference. Now's the time to do it because my schedule's still open. A lot of the talks that have been canceled from last year for COVID-related reasons, they haven't been rescheduled yet. So my schedule's looking pretty good right now in that I have openings. I'd love to do it. It's boy, is it ever time for me to get back on the road and start delivering the good news of Jesus Christ. So just go to followingthetruth.com. We could start the dialogue. You can tell me what you're looking for, and then we'll make it happen, okay? All right, so I told you earlier, I'm excited about these readings. I'm going to look at the Mass readings for the Tuesday of the octave of Easter. So we're in this big period. Now, there are 50 days in the season of Easter, but the octave of Easter, which began this past Sunday and will end the next Sunday, which is Divine Mercy Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, these are extra special days. They're all sort of like mini Easters. They're big deals. They really are. And they are days when which we should really celebrate extra hard. Celebrate the resurrection of Christ. I don't want you to go crazy when you hear celebrate, you know. You don't have to get the party hats and the noisemakers out, but we do want to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But I've got to read these readings to you because they are so good. A lot of times on my weekly program, I begin with the gospel. In this case, for these readings, I'm going to start with the first reading because it sort of builds up a little bit. And again, typically I lead with the gospel because all the other readings support the gospel. But in this case, especially during the Easter season, I'd like to do it in the order that these readings come in. So we'll look at the first reading, we will look at the psalm, and then we'll look at the gospel. Okay? Is that good with you? Good. Okay. And I don't have a backup plan, so that's the way we're going to do it. First readings from the Acts of the Apostles. Now, throughout the Easter season, we will be reading from the Acts of the Apostles as the first reading. It's a little unusual. This is a New Testament book. Typically, the first reading comes from the Old Testament, but throughout the New Testament, throughout the Easter season, we read through the Acts of the Apostles, and we get a very good insight into the early church. So this is what the church looked like just after the death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven of Jesus. After Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit appeared and descended upon the church. But this is like very early in the history of the church. Again, it's a great insight, some really good stuff. I always love doing these readings. So the first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 36 to 41. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said to the Jewish people, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart. Can you imagine that? He's telling the Jewish people that this person you crucified, he was the Son of God. He was Christ. For you and me, this isn't shocking, but as they are hearing this, it's very shocking. They were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do, my brothers?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, I want to point out here that as Catholics, and that's why it's important for us to see this written in the Bible, as Catholics, we believe that when we are baptized, not only are we forgiven from original sins, or original sin, and if we're older, you know, a lot of baptisms take place for infants. But if you're older when you're baptized, not only your original sin is forgiven, but every sin that you have committed up until that period in time is forgiven. That's one of the benefits of baptism. The other benefit of baptism is that you become part of the church. You become incorporated into the body of Christ. You receive sanctifying grace, which really that means you're allowed to participate. You get sort of sucked in, and this is a horrible theological term, but I'm just going to use my own term, kind of like sucked into the whole life of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And then also, Peter says that when you're baptized, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what we believe as Catholics. We believe that we first receive the Holy Spirit when we're baptized. This is different than many of our Protestant brothers and sisters who believe that when they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, only then do they receive the Holy Spirit. But the argument's pretty clear here that baptism, the Holy Spirit, is received first during baptism. And again, as Catholics, we believe that that gift of the Holy Spirit is completed or made stronger during confirmation. But you first get zapped by the Holy Spirit, another great theological term, at baptism. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day. See what happens? Membership to the church, it comes about through baptism. And we see this in the early church, direct from the pages of the Bible. And this is how the church began to grow. 3,000 persons were added to the church that day. You know, the church started out small, but it grew, and it grew and grew and grew to the, you know, over the years, to the point where today the church is all, the church founded by Jesus Christ is spread out all over the world. What an amazing accomplishment. That shows you that the church has to be of divine origin for this to be still taking place thousands of years after Christ first founded the church. Really good stuff. So again, that's why I love these readings from the Acts of the Apostles during the Easter season. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 33. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You need to see that. You need to see that. You got to turn the TV off sometimes because it can be very deceiving. You start to think the earth is a mess. And yeah, there are a lot of problems, but there is plenty of goodness to be seen too. You got to work at it though. Got to work at seeing the goodness. Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us, who have put our hope in you. All of our hope needs to be in the Lord. And only he can save us from the dangers all around us. Only he can allow us to achieve eternal life in heaven once our life on earth is over, you know? And really, really good. Let's do this gospel now, because I mentioned at the start of the show, chances are you've got some kind of problem or frustration, or you're dealing with something in your life right now, and it's very easy to look at it and say, this is hopeless, or this is not going to get better, or why should I get excited? You know, that's something very important for us to remember. Let's focus on the fact that Christ is risen, and that really makes things, no matter what they are, look a lot better. The gospel comes from John chapter 20, verse 11 through 18. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping. All right, let me just stop there and let's just chat about that for a minute. Mary's outside the tomb weeping. She is, as we'll see, assuming that not only is Jesus dead, because she came down there not to praise the Lord for rising from the dead. She came down there to anoint a dead body. And then she gets down there, finds the tomb empty, and she assumes that not only is he dead, but that somebody stole the body. And she's weeping outside the tomb. You know what? She was 100% wrong. She's looking at the empty tomb. Everything looked dark and hopeless. But in reality, that empty tomb was the sign of a miracle. That empty tomb was a sign of hope. That empty tomb was not a cause for weeping, but it was a cause for rejoicing. You see that? She missed the point. And we do it every day. Let me read the rest of this and we'll talk more about it. So as Mary wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to him, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." But when she had said this, she turned around, and guess who was there? She saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. That's another point for us to remember. Jesus was with Mary, and she's still weeping. She doesn't know it's him. He's with her. Guess what? He's with us too, and we don't recognize him. You see, we are the same way. We are doing the same thing here. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. Now, look, we see clear evidence of someone who is sad and who is looking at evidence, clear evidence that can be perceived with her senses. She's looking at an empty tomb. She doesn't see Jesus. She concludes that not only is he gone, but he's been carried away. That's the conclusion that she draws, a completely wrong conclusion. So what I propose to you today, and this is good news, look at that problem that's staring you in the face right now. Whatever it is, that hopeless situation, that mountain, that immovable mountain in front of you. Instead of looking at it as the end of the world, the end of your world, hopeless, and get discouraged because there's just no way, where is God in the midst of this? Look at it as an opportunity. Look at it as a sign that God's working in your life in some way. Because what you got to remember is that he is all powerful. So that anything that happens in your life somehow is approved by him. He doesn't always will it. And sometimes that's a fine point and we get confused about that. And it gives us a little heartburn when we think, like, how can God let something like this happen? He lets it happen in order to bring a greater good out of it. Look at the crucifixion. You're not going to get a better example than that. So as you look at this problem in your life, whatever it is, I want you to think of it as an opportunity for a miracle, an opportunity to grow closer to the Lord, even an opportunity to offer up your suffering. But it is an opportunity. And if it wasn't somehow able to be used for your good, God would not allow it to happen in your life. And he can use anything. So don't get overwhelmed or confused by the gravity of the situation, just like Mary did. You know, and don't jump to wrong conclusions. Because we know that God works all things for the good for those who love him. Romans 8:28. We know that. So therefore, that situation you're facing right now, it's an opportunity to grow closer to the Lord, to offer up your suffering, and to pray for a miracle. Go ahead and pray for your miracle. You know, I always encourage people to pray for the miracle, but at the same time, be willing to accept whatever God gives you. You know, pray for the miracle, but just be open. So do that. Be open, but don't sell him short. He can do miracles in your life. And just understand that whatever you're facing right now, just like Mary Magdalene, you could be looking at it as a very bad thing. And it doesn't mean you're not suffering. It could mean you're suffering. She was suffering because she had been separated from Jesus. There's definitely suffering there. But when you look at it through the eyes of faith, you begin to realize that God can somehow work good out of this. God wants you in heaven. And for each of us, what happens, the circumstances in our lives, it's going to be a little different. I need different circumstances than you do to help me get to heaven, because I have different strengths, different weaknesses, different tendencies. So for me, I came face to face with Christ on a very real level and was able to surrender my life to him because of a pretty severe health crisis. I was scared to death, but that's the only way he could get my attention. For a lot of people, that's not the case, and he's got a different approach. Whatever you're facing right now, God is allowing it to happen, and he's going to bring good out of it, some kind of good. Just ask him to help you. Ask him to take it away. It's okay to do that. Don't get impatient with him, but just ask him. And then ask him, Lord, what can you do? What can I do to respond to this? How do you want me to respond to this situation? The empty tomb. You know, the empty tomb in Mary's case led to an encounter with Jesus, and then she was able to share him with his followers. And that's the same thing for you. This empty tomb in your life can lead to a closer encounter with Christ. And when that encounter takes place and you get blown away by it, which is what happens when you have a really deep encounter with Jesus, you can go share him with others and tell people, listen, I want you to know I went through this and this happened to me. The Lord brought me through it. That, my friend, is what it means to effectively evangelize. People listen to that kind of talk and they respond. Okay, so look at the empty cave in your life and know that the Lord can bring good out of it. All right. Thanks for listening to me. I'm fired up. See, I had a day off and I'm energized today. It's great to be back with you. Hey, if you're able to send a donation along my way, I could really use it to keep the ministry going. Times are tough with not a lot of speaking work. Followingthetruth.com is the place to do it. You can do it securely through PayPal by going right to my website, followingthetruth.com. Hope you have a wonderful evening. Thanks again for listening. And God willing, let's do this again tomorrow. I plan to be back here, and I hope you will be as well. Have a wonderful night. And as I close, I'm going to close with two words. You're going to hear these a lot in the next few weeks. Happy Easter. He is risen. Hallelujah. See you next time. God bless.